Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
The gift that Mary and Joseph received on that first Christmas was so much more than a baby. It was an experience. Their search for love had brought them to this moment in time. And Mary experienced God's love and his favor in a very personal way, and also for the world around her. It was the reason he chose her. And it's the same reason today that God has chosen you and I. Through his unfailing, unshakable love, he chose Mary to bring Jesus into the world. And now he's called each of us to do the same, to bring Jesus into our world. Love may have looked like a baby, but it was so much more. Welcome back to our Searching for Christmas message series, leading up to the big day as we continue celebrating the season of Advent together, a season that's marked by the spirit of anticipation, expectation, preparation, and longing. You know, the word Advent is a version of the Latin word that means coming or arrival. And the focus of this entire season is on the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, his first Advent. And now we look forward to that second Advent when he returns as our King and our Judge. So today we're going to look at our search for love. Now, love is it's an extremely powerful force. It reaches and searches out hurt. It takes bold steps without self-interest, and it can accomplish unbelievable things because it's so void of self-interest. Like the father who runs back into a burning house to save his daughters, regardless of the risk to himself. You see, he'll do whatever it takes because of that unstoppable love within him for those he loves. It's the seemingly superhuman strength of the mother who lifts up the wreckage of an automobile after a serious accident to free her son so that she can get him to safety. You know, God the Father's unfailing love is revealed in his plan and purpose for our lives. He's always been there for each of us. And when the wall of sin stopped mankind from living in God's purpose and out of the love that he intended, the Father sent what was most precious to him to clear away the rubble, to lift off that heavy weight, and to free us, making a way where there wasn't a way. The great sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary's cross made a way for you and I that we could never have made on our own. His unstoppable love made a way for his purpose. Now, over the years, as we know, there's been more literature and music composed about love than likely any other subject. And now, as we come closer to Christmas, we're reminded of the power of love. I hear Huey Lewis somewhere in the back of my mind right now. God's love can be seen weaving its way throughout Scripture, through every story that we read. And love is more than a characteristic of his nature. It is his nature. It is who he is, expressed in Jesus and his life to redeem his people. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." You see, to know God is to know love. To not know love is to not know God at all. And everything he does in your life is to make a way and to clear a path for his love to fill your life. I think it's important that we first understand that the Father spared absolutely nothing, not even his own son, to ensure that we were offered the solution for the problem of sin. The thing that blocks us, that traps us, and holds us back from knowing him. His love paved the way for our freedom, if we receive it. It's a lot like being diagnosed with a deadly disease, but then being offered a cure, and yet we still refuse to receive it. Even though you've been given a way out to be spared of this suffering, just by refusing treatment, you almost render the cure inactive. You stop its healing power in your life. But the truth is, by refusing it for yourself, you don't actually short-circuit it for its ability to cure other people, especially if they decide to receive it and to fully recover. You and I, we've all been given a free will. And with that free will, we can refuse to receive the cure for sin. And we can choose death. Or we can allow His love, His joy, and His mercy and grace to fill us to overflowing. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, long before He laid down the earth's foundation, He had us in His mind and settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Listen, I don't want you to miss that right there. You are the focus of His love. His purpose simplified in your life is that God made you to love you. And when He abides within us through His love, the purpose of God is released in our lives and everything that we do. You know, often we try to make a way for ourselves and we attempt to push ourselves into all kinds of different opportunities that we come across, whether it's a new relationship, a marriage, or a career. But outside of His love at work within our lives, many things that we purpose to do in the end end up in failure or even disaster. Show me a church where there's that kind of unstoppable, unshakable love, and I'll show you a church that is a powerful force in the community that it's been placed in. God has called each of us to help this world, the world around us, experience His love. And if we could, listen, let love replace the religious duty that sometimes church communities get caught up in, this world would soon be reached for Jesus and evangelized. Love is central to our mission here at the church, loving God, loving people, and loving the life that He's given us. 1 John 4:8 says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So our search for love, it's really our search for God. There's so many teachings and topics and principles that are presented in the church today. Everything from healing to faith to leadership, deliverance, discipleship. All of these things are very important. All of these things are things that we should learn and develop within our lives. But as good as these teachings are, and as much as they're needed, we need them in a proper balance. And each of them has to be seasoned with His love. The King James Version of Scripture translates love as charity. But the actual Greek word used here is agape, which means the loved of God. We need to allow His love continue to flow through us to those that He loves. Nothing we will ever do will profit us unless it's done from the motive of His love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 says, if I could speak all languages of earth and angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my own body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Now, love looks different for different people. And the same was true on that first Christmas. Even though Scripture tells us in John 1:11 that His own did not receive Him, it wasn't because the Father misread the political or social conditions of the day and kind of messed up His timing when He sent His Son. You see, love came at just the right time and to just the right people. God foretold this event, and he prepared people for himself. And as soon as the promise was given, their search for love began. The truth is, salvation has been secured for the entire human race. Humanity has been redeemed or kind of bought back. But still, there are those, believe it or not, who reject him. But that's that free will that God has given us. He's not going to impose or force himself on us. We can choose. We can choose life, or we can choose death. C.S. Lewis once said, "Though our feelings come and go, God's love for us does not. His love remains steadfast. It's never, ever changing." You know, it's hard to believe that during such a seemingly happy time of the year that people's stress levels and anxiety tends to be at an all-time high. People are so focused in their search for recreating or creating these perfect moments for those that they love that sometimes they miss them altogether because they're holding on just a little too tight. Last thing we need to do is to angrily share the reason for the season. I remember many years ago, our church in Eastern Canada printed up a whole bunch, like thousands of these signs that Jesus is the reason for the season. And they said, you know, everybody put it on their lawns and let's proclaim the good news. Well, if your only testimony to the world is a sign on your lawn, then you're missing something. Because I knew people that would use that statement and they would get in fights and debates with people over what the reason of the season would be. It was like taking that sign and beating people over the head with it. Jesus is the reason for the season. Yeah, listen, if that's your approach, you're missing it altogether. People don't need to be beat over the head with the good news. We need to live his love and share the gospel with every opportunity that we have as we live it out. We need to live out the life of Christ around the relationships and the people that we have. The central message of this season is still the incarnation. God became man. Love came down. And yet his arrival also signaled the end of a search for many people looking for very different things. Some were searching desperately for deliverance. Matthew 2:1-2 says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who is born King of the Jews? This man of deliverance.' Because you know what? He was a savior to some, but he was also a threat to others. They said, 'We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" People see life and see things around us in very different ways. I remember going to a Christmas party once and was seeing a lot of people that hadn't seen in a long time, and it was so great to catch up. But then I was kind of off in the corner with some eggnog and meeting this guy who I'd never met before. He was invited by the host of the party. And so I was trying to get to know this guy a little bit, and as we talked, every single thing I said, this guy was bringing it back to politics. Seemed like he was trying to drag me in to a debate or to a fight. I felt like just saying, "Dude, you need to just chill out and relax. Have yourself a Christmas cookie and just enjoy the moment that we're in." But the truth is, some people see everything through political eyes. And the advent of Christ was no exception. Jewish people were straining under the oppressive hand of Rome. And so they were anxiously awaiting a savior, searching for deliverance. As much as he is the King of the Jews, even more, he is the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords today. Some people were searching for trouble. They were searching for their own agenda, stirring it up wherever they went. Matthew 10:32-34 says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." You see, some people were driven by their own agenda. And we're not opposed to stirring things up and causing trouble if it meant defending themselves, defending their own way of life. You see, Jesus was a troublemaker to all those who would be lord of their own lives. He insists on lordship in our hearts. And this is extremely offensive to some people who love to do it their way. You walk around proclaiming that you're the only way. You're going to make some people mad, and you're going to make some other people glad. Some in that day were searching for knowledge. And oftentimes, even today, we'll hear people talk about Jesus not so much as the Son of God, but as a powerful teacher or a prophet. Matthew 16, 13 through 14 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do they say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Sadly, many people today, like back in Jesus' day, accept and admire him as a great teacher or even a prophet, but they reject him as Lord. But then finally, you look at a group of people in the days that led up to this first Christmas. Some were searching for Messiah. You see, for them, love had always looked like the Son of God. Matthew 16, 15 to 17 says, but what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. So what about you today? Where has your searching brought you to in this moment? My prayer for you is that you will be transformed by the love that looks like Messiah, your Savior, your Redeemer. You see, for Mary and Joseph, love looked like a baby. Love looked like their little son. Imagine being a newly engaged couple filled with all these great plans about your future, when all of a sudden God makes an unexpected and dramatic entrance into your life. This is the experience of Mary and Joseph. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. 1 John 4, 9 through 10 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins so that you and I could be fully forgiven. This is love. Our endless searching has finally ceased. That simple nativity scene reveals, I think, the very heart of God. See, the stable declares his love. The manger demonstrates God's love. And his love always requires a response. Like Mary and Joseph, I pray that you would let Jesus into your life this Christmas, that you would let your search for love lead ultimately to him. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for your love that holds us and keeps us in place. I pray that every person that's watching or hearing this message today would recognize how great your love is in their lives. That they don't need to go around with the weight of guilt and shame, but Lord, you can free them to a place where they know that you've called them with great purpose. I pray for those today that are still searching, that are searching for that love, maybe in all the wrong places, that today that their search would come to an end as they come to know you. That they would look towards heaven and say, Lord, I thank you for who you are. Father, I thank you for sending your Son for me, for forgiving me of my sins. Come in to my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And let love rule and reign through me. Help us, Lord, to let love season every word we speak. And may we always share the good news that is filled with that love, so that people would constantly be pointed back to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.